You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I'm sure driving to church, did you see some signs here against the poles? It's our new campaign that we are running. And if you see those signs, that maybe you read lack of worship or lack of seniors or lack of uplifting. And when we see a sign, it leads us, it tells us a story. So even in the Bible, the wise men, they saw a sign. When they saw a sign in the heavenlies, they got excited. And I want to tell you the signs that God has given you over the past year. Maybe you've been facing some challenges, but God has been giving you some signs. Turn to the person that you say, it's time to rejoice. When you've seen a sign and God has shown you that He's busy working in you, it's time to rejoice. Because what God has begun, He is going to finish that. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 2 verse 9. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen, in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They had not seen Jesus, they had just seen the sign. And when they saw the sign, they got happy, they started to rejoice. Turn to the person next to you, say, you've seen enough signs to know that Jesus is busy in your life. To start jumping up and down and to rejoice. Many of us, we want to wait till we see the end result, but God has given us enough signs. I'm asking you, what do you see? What do you see? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Can I say this? Wise men and wise women get excited when they see a sign. Wise men and wise women get excited when they see a sign. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, what signs has God been giving you? You know, God has been giving us many signs that He's about to do something extraordinary. Many signs. What do you see? What are you looking at? So when God gives us a sign, it's time to jump up and down. Amen. What do you see this Christmas? When you're young, the only thing you see is gifts, presents. What am I going to get? Amen. What are we going to eat? There's all different things that we see that we place value upon. But the greatest thing that we should see, we should look beyond the gifts and see the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I just tell you one thing? The wise men, after they saw the sign, they rejoiced, they were happy. But once they walked into the house, that joy changed to worship. There's a whole sermon just in that. So this will bring me to my sermon topic for today. What do you see this Christmas day? What do you see this Christmas day? Because what you see will determine how you behave, what you say, and what you do. I heard about a story. They took a violinist. They placed him in a subway to do an experiment at the busiest hour of the day. For 45 minutes, he played some of the most intricate pieces of Beethoven and Bach. They put him with a baseball cap, normal clothes, and he played for 45 minutes, busiest hour. Only 7 people stopped to listen. Only 7 people stopped. Only 20 people gave money, and it was just over $20 that they gave him. The rest just walked past him. The interesting thing, why am I telling you this? The interesting thing, the previous night, this violinist was in Carnegie Hall, sold out, where the cheapest ticket was $400. The violin that he played with at Carnegie Hall and the violin that he played with in the subway is valued at $14 million. Can you imagine Try that in South Africa. You'll be in big trouble. The guy's name is Joshua Bell. He's one of the best violinists in the world. Why am I telling you this? Because sometimes your setting and your surroundings and how you look at things can determine how much value you placed on something. When he was in a subway, they walked past him. Only 7 people stopped. When he was in Carnegie Hall, at the end of the performance, he had a 2-minute standing ovation. Why am I saying this? There's a difference between looking at something and seeing something. There's a difference between hearing something and listening. And oftentimes your environment and where you are determines whether you're just hearing something or whether you're listening. Whether you're looking or whether you're seeing. It was the right place that made the people appreciate what they were listening to, what they saw. I hope I'm talking to the right people here this morning. The wise men saw a star. And when they saw the star, they started moving. Many times we can be next to something that is great, but because we are moving so quickly, we don't look. We don't see. I wonder how many times have people moved past their miracle because they're in too much of a hurry. How many times you've just moved past and you didn't see what God was actually doing because you're not seeing it. You're just looking. What do you see this Christmas? You can miss your miracle while it's so close to you. I want to challenge you on this day. What do you see on Christmas Day? So many people missed it when Jesus was born because they was expecting a king to be born in a palace. Oftentimes, God will manifest himself in the least likely places. But because we're looking at different things, other things, we don't see what God is doing. John 1 verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says that when Christ came to this earth, He manifested His glory. God wants to manifest His glory, His presence in your life. Are you following the signs? The things that God is showing you to lead you into His house so that you can be in His presence. Sometimes we can walk past a miracle and we don't even know it was there. We can live a life without looking. Christmas is not about seeing the gifts, but it's seeing the greatest gift. We can so quickly lose our focus looking at all the things out there in the world, all the things that they're advertising. I mean, the world right now is even trying to remove Christ from Christmas by calling it Xmas. What do you see on this Christmas day? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know what that means? It means God stepped out of heaven and came to this earth as a sign for you and me that there's hope. We need to look beyond what we see with our natural eyes and see what God is busy doing. Amen? I was thinking about this. How many missed out? How many missed out because they were looking for a king to be born in a palace? But He came as a man. So that both of us, you and me, could find Him. Amen? The King of the universe. King of the universe. He made everything. He made you and me, and then He became a man. What do you see? What are you looking at? Turn to the person next to you and ask them, say, what do you see on Christmas Day? Ask them again, say, what do you see on Christmas Day? I think the question we have to ask ourselves, do you see God working in your life? Do you see the signs when you look back at 2024, where God has been speaking to you, where God has been leading you? You know what's the most beautiful thing about our God? He loves us so much. Many of you have stopped reading your Bibles, but God is still speaking to you. God is still giving you signs. Graceful God that wants to take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. Our biggest challenge in life is we want the end result. We want the end result, but sometimes there's a process. When you look at the wise men, they had to travel a long distance. A matter of fact, they started traveling. God gave them the sign to see the star, to go look for the king when the king was not yet born. Sometimes God is busy working in us, giving us signs to move us from where we are to where He wants us to be. And we don't understand and even know why. Both journeys was not easy. The wise men, the journey that they had to take was not an easy one. As a matter of fact, there was a few detours. They first had to stop by Herod the king. Sometimes even on our own journey, there might be some detours. We say, God, you said, go there. And on this journey, this happens. Not even Mary's journey was easy. The process on a donkey. Can I tell you something? Mary had Jesus on the inside of her. And the trip up on the donkey was a bumpy ride. It teaches us sometimes even when you have Jesus on the inside of you, your road might be bumpy. Turn to the person that you say, I'm going to share that with somebody. Say, my road has not been bumpy. I've had a smooth 2024. But I'm going to encourage somebody. There's something in the process that God values. Something in the process that God values that we have to go through. Where God shapes us and where God forms us. The process. The process is not always easy. But it's there where God is busy working in us and with us and through us to shape us. And if you just look at the process, you might get discouraged. You have to be able to see beyond that to where God is taking you and what God is busy doing in your life. Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. Faith and patience is just another way of saying process. Turn to the person next to you and say, process. When you're in a process, don't stop looking for God. The wise men couldn't stop looking for God. While the star was moving, while the sign was moving, they had to move. Can I say this? God will meet you where you're at. God will meet you where you're at. The wise men, we know they had gold and frankincense and myrrh, so we know that they were wealthy. God will meet you where you're at. He met the shepherds where they were at. The shepherds were looked down upon. In society, they were considered the least. But God appeared to them. Angels were singing. And they were shown the way to Jesus. The wise men were shown the way to Jesus. So whether you are rich or whether you are poor, God will give you the signs and God will speak to you to lead you to Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen? So who you are and where you find yourself can never be an excuse. Some people, like the wise men, have to take a long journey. Raise your hand if I see if you've had a long journey. And other times the shepherds, they just had a short, could step in there. Maybe the wise men had the money, the resources, the camels. That's why they could do that long journey. So God will meet you where you're at. Our process, what we hear, how we see it might differ. But the end result is God wants you to be in a lasting relationship with Him. That's where He's leading you and that's where He's taking you. John 3:16, you know that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a message to everybody. Amen. You know, the wise men, can I just touch on one myth of the wise men? We often think there's only three wise men because of all the stories and children plays that we've seen. But when you go do some research, and we think there's three because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there were much more than that when they came. Amen? There were much more than that. So let me just put that out there. If you go do research, you'll see it. Everybody will see Him, whether far or close. But one thing is, the familiarity of your environment, that which makes you feel comfortable, you're going to have to leave that if you want to be in God's presence. You're going to have to step out and say, God, I'm going to be where You want me to be. Can I say this? Jesus knows exactly what to show you to get you moving. For the wise men, it was the star. For the shepherds, it was angels singing. God will use what would touch your heart to move. But if you don't see it, it will not affect your heart. Because it's the look of faith unto Jesus that pleases Him. And faith without actions means nothing. This Christmas, I just want to ask you this question. What do you see? And when you see God moving and doing something, what are you doing? I'm going to close with this. The wise men, they saw a sign and they came from far to worship God, to magnify Him and to exalt Him. The beautiful thing that happened here is, the Bible says, I quoted John 1:14, that the Word became flesh. And when it manifested, we could saw its glory. But verse 16, it says, when He came, it was grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace is God's unmerited favor. And when that unmerited favor starts to manifest in your life, guess what happens? Things will start to change. And God will take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. Can I show you something in Scripture? Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready to bust a myth. How many of you believe that when the wise men arrived at Jesus, that He was still in the stable? Who of you believe that? Raise your hand nicely. Okay. Who of you believe the Bible more than Bible stories? Raise your hand. Okay. I've read the scripture already, so now I'm going to read it again. Matthew 2, verse 11. After coming into the stable, they saw the child. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped Him. Can I say this? When grace upon grace manifests in your life, the rejection that you experience to be in a stable, God will take you from the stable to your own house. God is busy with a process and you're not even aware of it. God is busy working. When grace manifests, unmerited favor, God will start doing things in your life that you don't even deserve, things that you've not even qualified for. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell to the ground and they worshipped Him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. Can I tell you something? What did Herod say? Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Wanted to kill Jesus. What did God tell Joseph to do? He told him to go to Egypt. They couldn't go to Egypt. Why? Because they were poor. How do I know Joseph and Mary were poor? Because when they brought the offering, they brought an offering of a turtle dove, which was the poor man's offering. But God knew what would happen, so he sent the wise men to bring gifts so that they would have enough to be able to move to Egypt. Can I tell you something? God has brought the answer, given a sign to somebody to move when you're not even aware of it. When God wants to protect that which is precious and dear to him, it often depends on the obedience of somebody else. Am I talking to the right people here? What do you see this Christmas? What do you see this Christmas? God is busy working. You're saying, God, where are you? Herod wants to kill me. And God will bring the right people in your life at the right time to help you, to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. The wise men, when they walked in, most of the people, when they came in, they saw a baby. The wise men, when they came in, they didn't see a baby. They saw a king, the savior of the universe. Where people saw baby little hands, they saw the hands of a healer. When they looked at him, maybe people saw them lowly and down there. They saw him high and lifted up. And their joy from seeing the sign turned into worship, and they started magnifying and glorifying him. Anybody can worship and say thank you, Jesus, when they've received their miracle, when they've received their salvation. But it takes wise men, men of faith, women of faith, to say thank you, Jesus. I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered. When the pain is still in your body, when you've not yet received it, to be able to say thank you. That's what they did. That's the look of faith. What do you see this Christmas day? Faith sees the invisible. Faith believes the impossible, and faith receives the incredible. What do you see this Christmas? Because faith acts now. Faith believes now. Faith receives now. Can you imagine those wise men arrived at Herod and they gave the gifts to him? Whole teaching just in that. Give your gifts at the right place. Give your gifts at the right place. But when they came in and they started to worship, they could give their gifts. I'm leaving you with this thought. What do you see? What do you see this Christmas day? The signs that God has given you is just saying, I'm busy with the process. Turn to the person next to you, say, process. Turn to the person on the other side, say, process. It's not about the signs. It's not about the signs. The signs here in the street about the church, it's not about the signs. It's about when you come into the house and you experience God's presence in your life can change. King Herod told the wise men, come back and tell me. He wanted to kill the baby. But God spoke to them and said, listen, I want you to go home another way. Can I tell you something? When you've been in God's house and you've encountered his presence, you'll never go home the same way. Because God will change your life on the inside so that you can go and make a difference out in the world. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. I'm leaving you with this one thought. What do you see this Christmas day? Is it the gifts? Is it the stars? I mean, here's how many stars hanging here around us. It's not about this. It's about his presence. It's about his presence. When you're in his presence is where we change, is where God takes us from where we are to where he wants us to be. What do you see this Christmas day? Seal up.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.